Finally, we left something to Paolo to do, and it was successful.
See, I'm actually capable of organising something.
Yeah. Michael Conlon, good morning.
Good morning.
It's really good to have you, mate. I'm really looking forward to this. Thank you very much for coming down. Big week for you coming up. Obviously, the big press conference is on Friday.
Yeah, big week. So, Top Rank are coming over from America and stuff. So, you know, they're putting big effort into me here, and they're running big shows for me also. So, you know, I'm really happy with it, and it is a big week ahead.
So let's get it out of the way first and foremost in terms of the fight. So you've turned pro, St. Patrick's Day, top on the bill, Madison Square Garden. I mean, for the first fight, it doesn't come much bigger. In fact, for any fight, it doesn't come much bigger.
For any fight, it doesn't. You know, it's every Irish fighter's dream. They go on top a bill anywhere, but they go and fight in Madison Square Garden is another dream. So to do both in one fight is very special.
Right, so the press conference is on Friday. It's a Titanic Belfast midday, and everyone's welcome.
Yeah, everybody's welcome. All media, all general public, everyone is welcome. So, you know, turn up there and make some noise.
Tell us about the fighter you're going to be going up against.
I'm not too sure yet. You know, usually in your first fight, you're going to be fighting someone who's not going to be half decent, but because I'm topping the bill, it's going to be someone who's very good, and, you know, he's going to test me and see how good I am. But so it's risky enough for your first fight, but, you know, I'm happy with it. I believe my ability, and I believe anybody steps in the ring with me isn't going to beat me, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Let's hope at the Olympic Games. So,
are you sure?
Firstly, no cursing.
Well,
no cursing. No cursing. Right. Okay, as a pro, as I regard myself as a professional, right, and I have got to put myself out there and say that the person from RTE who stuck the microphone straight in your face straight after you came out of the ring, and I appreciate that obviously tensions were running high and you were very emotional. Part of me feels that as a pro and seeing you in the state that you were in, had it have been me, and I know from their standpoint, they wanted to get the reaction there and then. If it had have been me, I think I would have held off for 5 minutes if I could have, let you calm down and then speak to you. But it was in the moment. You said what you said. Do you regret it?
No, I don't regret it at all. You know, if I didn't say what I said, I'd be sitting here today and for the last number of days with a lot of regret and disappointment, you know, letting people walk over me like that wouldn't have been what I would have wanted. I done what I done in the ring, but what I said outside the ring kind of just, it was natural, completely natural. It was what I felt at the time, and, you know, I felt that it needed to be said. If I didn't say it, you know, it probably would continue to happen, and things that's happened since wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, so the judges, yeah. Well, what's the story with the judges
all,
now?
All 36 judges have been stood down now. So that's every single judge in the Olympic Games now has been put down, and I don't know what's happened. There's an investigation in there, but they may not find anything, but I don't think them judges will work at the top level again.
So it's obviously left a very sour taste in your mouth, because you, and like Paddy Barnes and stuff, have been a real advocate of amateur boxing. And now, has the glory days of your amateur run and the feelings that you had for it, I'm sure they're now well and truly tainted?
No, for me, no. It hasn't left a sour taste for the rest of my career, and, you know, I'm actually over it already, but I'm still world champion. I'm still number one ranked, no matter what. Even after the Games, I'm still number one ranked. And it is what it is. It was Olympic Games, it didn't go well, but, you know, I'm still top.
But you are a very confident person, and this is what always amazes me about you and Paddy. Like, no matter what, in your mind, no one's going to beat you. Did the Olympic experience knock your confidence at all?
No, because, you know, I knew in the ring I didn't lose. It was the judges, so the confidence is still there and still will always be there. It didn't knock my confidence in my ability or my confidence to accomplish anything. I felt that I gave a good account of myself in the ring, and if I'm as confident as ever.
So your dad coaches you. Your dad's a great man. Yeah. I have a lot of time for him, and I think he's just a gentleman. How did he feel after the whole thing, and what did he say to you to get you back up? And again, no cursing, please.
Yeah, I think he probably felt worse than me. You know, he's put his whole life into me to do what I wanted to do, and he knew how much it meant to me to win gold. So he took it very bad. Maybe worse than me, actually, in fairness. But, you know, we looked ahead, we had options, we knew we had options. But for a long while there, he was in the dumps and he said some crazy stuff also, so I'm glad he's got his fake game back on, and he's heading away next month now to the World Championships with the youth team, so he has them all in Belfast at the minute in the training camp with England and Scotland, so, you know, he knows what it's meant to me and what it's meant to him, and it's kind of ruined the Olympics for him. He's been watching Olympics since he's a boy with his father, and he believed in the Olympic spirit and the Olympic dream, and the fact that it was took away from both of us like that, it killed him. Like,
Michael Conlon's our guest in this morning's show. Michael Conlon, pro fighter.
No.
more from him in a second. It's 8:21. It is the weekend of Daft Punk and Starboy at Cool FM. Cool FM weekend at Daft Punk and Starboy at 24. Michael Conlon's our guest this morning. What's the story with the Manchester City shirt you're wearing?
Now, why didn't you say that in the break, Michael?
You should have kept your coat at that.
Definitely.
How long have you been a City fan for?
I've been a City fan since about 2000, 2001.
All right.
The reason I became a City fan is because they were first division when I started supporting them, I remember. But I was like a Chelsea fan, then an Arsenal fan, and my native fan. I was like, everybody was just saying, you're a glory hunter. And I says, one day, I said, how am I a glory hunter? I support Man City in their first division. And then it's just stuck ever since. So.
Very good. Is Pep the man? You worried?
He's the man. No, I'm not worried. You know, we'll get back in the shape soon. Still top of the league, no matter what. Goal difference, or whatever you want to call it. But we're still one goal ahead of everybody else.
These are two Liverpool supporters, so
I know.
They don't have a leg to stand on.
Right. Okay, so the Olympic Games being gone, you're still ranked number one amateur. Why now? Obviously, we know what happened in the Olympic Games, and I suppose you were always going to turn pro anyway, but like, if you look at the likes of Carl Frampton, he didn't, you know, for whatever reason, see the amateur game as the same way that you got to see the amateur game. So now you've decided to turn pro. Had it have been gold, you probably would have done pro anyway, but you see, back at the start of this, why not go pro early? Why did you stick to your guns and really fight the bit out? Because in terms of getting funding and in terms of making the amateur dream come true, it's seriously hard work.
Yeah, it's hard work, but you know, I believed I would be Olympic champion, and that's not one word of a lie. Since 2012, I knew Rio was my games, as it would have been where I announced myself on the stage to be the best professional ever anyway. But I won that gold medal. But, you know, the experience I've got from the amateurs, I wouldn't change it. You know, for any young kids coming up, I would still stick to the amateurs until you're ready to go pro, because it's amazing. The experience you get, you'll not get that in the pros. And if you go too early, you'll get hurt or you'll lose, and your career will not be probably as big as what it should be. So I think the experience I've got from the amateurs is unprecedented. So
what you're saying is, Rio happened. If you go back, you still would have taken the games to go to Rio.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe, I don't know, maybe after the World Championships I probably would have went instead of having to go to Rio, but I don't know. I won't watch the Olympic Games again, like, but
that's sad, isn't it?
It is sad, because I've watched them all my life, but at the same time, I think for kids coming up, don't take my experience in it and think it's, your experience will be the same, because, you know, the Olympic Games can make or break you, and, you know, I've made myself from the amateur game and done what I've done. The Olympic Games hasn't changed my opinion. I always knew there was a bit of corruption in amateur boxing. Maybe not as big as what...
They will yeah, turn around and deny that.
Yeah, everybody will deny it, you know. But sometimes you could think they're bigger than FIFA. So, for young kids, but definitely stay amateur.
You're very measured in how you speak. And do you think you're more measured now after what happened in Rio?
Yeah, I think it's an experience that'll stand by me for the rest of my life, you know. I know if the same situation happened again, I probably would control myself a bit more and not react as how I did. Even though it was a reaction I do not regret. I know if it happened again, I couldn't react like that, because it would come across wrong. You know, I'm not a sore loser. I'm not a guy who would cry over stuff like this. But, you know, that was my dream, my lifelong dream, just ripped away from me. So I had to just say what I said at the end.